Good morning. This is listener-supported public radio. You are tuned to KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9:02 a.m. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and it's time for the regular Thursday COVID-19 brief. Let's check in on the panel. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, do you read me?
I do. You're a little echoey, Kathleen, but I hear you just fine.
How about Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services?
Hey, good morning, Kathleen. You're loud and clear.
Hey, good morning. And Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer. Are you there?
I am here.
And good morning and welcome, and thank you for being here. So I have a few questions for the panel that have come through, that have been sent to either info@kbbi.org or kathleen@kbbi.org. And you can send your questions that way by emailing info@kbbi.org, or you can call 235-7721 and either leave your question or we'll take it on the air. But the first question I have is, let's start with Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital and Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, because we're going to talk about clinics and vaccine registration. I have a stack of emails in my email box asking about getting registered and when the next clinic is. So, Dorotha, can you start with the next set of clinics for Incident Command? Because I believe they're all booked up right now, but new bookings, new appointments will be available starting March 1st. That's Monday. Have I got that right, Dorotha?
You got it right, Kathleen. So starting Monday at 12 o'clock noon, we will open more than 700 appointments for the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine. And those will be for a variety of days and times. So about 530 of those appointments will be for a mass vaccination clinic at the Homer High School on Friday, March 12. And then another 200 of those will be available by appointment on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at a new clinic or a new offering in the community. And that is South Peninsula Hospital's COVID vaccine and testing site on Bartlett Street. So we've been able to remodel that and use the same site that we currently offer testing at to also offer vaccine appointments, vaccine administration by appointment. So to recap that, on Monday, March 1st at 12 o'clock noon, you can make your appointment either online on the hospital website or by calling the vaccine helpline 435-3188. And there will be over 500 appointments for a mass vaccine clinic on Friday, March 12, or there will be individual appointments at the new center on Bartlett Street for March 9, 10, 11, 16, and 17. Over 700 appointments will become available on Monday just through the allocation that was given to the hospital for Homer's Unified Command. And just a reminder, that is only one of the vaccine sources on the Southern Peninsula.
Right,
there
I want to break
four
in.
Or five others.
I want to break in just a moment. I know that Ulmer's will start taking appointments online on their website starting, I believe, March 4th. And if you have a healthcare provider like SVT Health and Wellness, and you are a patient at SVT Health and Wellness, give them a call and make contact with whoever your healthcare provider is, because a few other places, I think Nurse Lauren calls them homes, care homes.
Medical homes,
that's it. A few other medical homes in the area have all gotten their March allocations, and they're ready to start in the next week taking appointments for them. So, Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, Incident Command runs a helpline for people who either don't have a computer and can't sign up online, or for some reason have difficulty or just need assistance. Can you talk about that? Is that line active now?
It is. It's active. The phone number is 435-3188. However, if you call it right now, it has a message, an automated outgoing message that gives people information about how to sign up, since we don't currently have an active sign-up time. But starting Monday at noon, we will have four people there on the lines to answer the calls and be able to book appointments for people who need that assistance. But we tend to get pretty busy in the first hour or two of any of the openings of appointment setting. And so we'll have people answering the phone until the phone stops ringing, basically. And then we just switch it back to the message to give people instructions about how to get an appointment. So we stand this up when we roll out a new sign-up time so that people can get that kind of assistance.
Thanks. That's Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer. I have some questions coming in. Donna asks, if I've had both COVID shots, I'm wondering if it's okay to get the shingles vaccine too, or should I wait? So, Nurse Lauren, can you take that one?
Ooh, that's a good question. The best response would be to check in with your doctor at the medical home and see what they say. But in general, that's my best answer. Let me leave it at that.
Check with your provider?
Yep.
Okay. And I still have a few more for you, Nurse Lauren, but the next question comes from Anonymous. How mysterious. And Anonymous asks, this may go for Nurse Lauren, maybe Dorotha or Jenny. Do I have to show proof that I'm an essential worker to get the vaccine, and how do I do that?
I can take a first go.
And go
then,
for it.
You know, the other folks may have some input, too. But, you know, in general, with things like this, the Department of Health and Social Services is not in the verification business. So that's not really something that we require from our perspective. However, when you get to a pod or a medical home, there might be some local policies that may be different than that.
And Dorotha, do you have anything to add to that?
What we ask people to do when setting an appointment is attest to the fact that they qualify. We walk them through. In setting your appointment, you walk through the Who is Eligible page, and it has the list of who's eligible in the current tier. And then after you read them all, you have to pick one. And then you have to say, yes, I belong in this tier and I am eligible. And so it's an honor system, but it is, you are attesting in setting the appointment that you are in that group.
I see. And I know some people, me for instance, I have a piece of paper attesting to the fact that I'm an essential worker. It was issued to us, the news people, when COVID first broke out in Alaska, because if there were real lockdowns, then it enabled me and entitled me to go around and report the news and to buy gasoline in case it were rationed and that sort of thing. So I actually have a piece of paper designating me as an essential worker. But if you don't have one of those, that doesn't mean that you're not eligible.
That's correct. For the vaccine purposes on the Southern Peninsula at these open pods and through the hospital, you do not need that piece of paper. I'm glad you have it, but we are in a situation right now that the supplies are ample enough that we are absolutely able to use the honor system and encourage people to come that are in the essential services of 50 years and over.
The next question is for, I guess, Lauren and Dorotha, or whoever wants to step up for this. Jane asks, how many people in the Lower Kenai Peninsula, well, she says in the area, but I'm guessing Lower Kenai Peninsula, are currently eligible, and what's the timeline for vaccinating that group?
Ooh, Jane, that's a great question, and it's pretty complex. You know, the thing that's happening today is that there is less supplies versus demand. So that's the figure we're really looking at. But the direct answer, and I'll have a very different answer than Dorotha. I think I heard her respond to a similar question a couple of weeks ago. But if you think about age 65 and above, age 50 and above with high risk, in considering, you know, at least 40% of the population of SKP is 50 and older. With all the estimates, when I line it up, it's somewhere around 4,000 or over 25% of SKP, but that's plus or minus a couple thousand, and that's because these are all estimates, and there's no mechanism to point to exact numbers.
Could I add into here?
Go right ahead, Jenny.
Please, Kathleen, yes. I just wanted to point people to resources online. I believe on South Peninsula Hospital's page, there is very detailed, not too detailed, but detailed enough that you can really look at that and figure out if you qualify. The state has relaxed some of the qualifications for some of the tiers. So the eligibility is starting to get pretty complex. So it's no longer just if you're 65 years or older, but there's all these if this, if that. So I encourage anyone who's curious, who thinks, maybe I do, maybe I don't, I don't know, to go online and look at those eligibility criterias. It's not only people 50 years older with a high-risk medical condition, but also 50 years above working as a frontline essential worker. And that category has a lot of detail and breadth to it. So please go and look at that. You don't need a paper, as Kathleen does. I don't even have one of those. Then education, pre-K-12 education, and childcare staff. People who live or work in congregate settings, and that is not only in the judiciary system, it's broadened to any kind of congregate setting. And then if you're 65 years or older and you persons who are 65 years and older are eligible. Also, this is a new category. If you know someone who's 65 years or older who needs help and assistance or encouragement to come in and get the vaccine, and you bring them, but you're not 65 years of age or older, or you don't meet any of the other criteria, just bringing that elder to the vaccine clinic qualifies you for a vaccine as well. That's a new eligibility that the state just released the other day, and that is really about encouraging that we get that high-risk older age group the support that they need to come in and get the vaccine.
I have that. I have an issue from Dr. Zink putting that out, vaccine eligibility for people who assist someone 65 years or older in getting the vaccine are now eligible to be vaccinated at the same time. Here's my question about that. So does that person call to make the appointment for the person who's 65 years or older and at that time say, I will be bringing that person, and so they also make an appointment? I mean, can Nurse Lauren or Dorotha or Jenny, can someone explain to me how that's going to go?
Well, what happens is that everybody has to remember, check they're in one of those eligible tiers. So when setting the appointment for the 65 and over, you would check 65 and over and put that person's name in for the appointment. And then you go and you set another appointment and you check the button, which is, I am transporting somebody to the vaccine clinic who's 65 and over. And then you put your name in. So you need two unique appointments, and they need to be specific to the fact that the two individuals have unique eligibility qualifications.
Thanks so much for clearing that up. Next question is from Martin. Martin says, are people who have been vaccinated already protected from the new strains of the virus that have been detected in Alaska? Nurse Lauren?
Yeah, good question. Information about characteristics of those variants is emerging very rapidly.
Yeah, what can you tell us about that?
Well, so far, studies are suggesting that antibodies generated through vaccination with the currently authorized vaccines recognize the variants. So it's being really closely investigated, especially as the variants spread, more folks get vaccinated. That means that more studies are underway. So the take-home would be stay tuned.
Okay, thanks for that, Nurse Lauren. And if anyone else has any questions, we're just about at last call for questions. You can email them to info@kbbi.org, or you can call 235-7721. Now, I heard something interesting at at the Homer City Council meeting, and I want to ask Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer, about it. When Robert Archibald was giving his report, Parks Department reports, to Council, he talked about camping in Hornaday Park being made available at a reduced rate or even free for people who have been impacted due to COVID. So, Jenny, can you talk a little bit about that? Is there a significant population of people who've been made homeless by COVID, or is this to help the people who are already homeless? What's going on with that?
Sure. Well, last year, the city, in response to COVID-19 and wanting to help all populations in the city seek some degree of stable place where you could go if you were sick or had symptoms, there was a special program that the city offered that allowed people to stay in specific care in Hornaday Park campsites if they could not afford to pay and were otherwise homeless. So that program ran last year, and in order to authorize something like that and make that opportunity available, council had to approve a variance on the city's fee schedule, because typically we charge for the campsites. And what Robert was referring to in his report is that there's a resolution that will be coming before council on their March 8th meeting to discuss doing something like that again, and whether to authorize free camping or reduced rate. How much of the homelessness was due or is due to COVID-19, I couldn't say. I know that Homer does have a homeless population, and there are many people in the community who have a goal of helping to reduce and alleviate problems associated with that and reduce homelessness. So part of what's going on with the city is that various groups within the city are in early discussion, people on commissions, the parks and rec staff, to think ahead to address this issue. Last year, it was definitely a little more quick reaction to COVID mitigation. So we're thinking ahead and planning if there's possibly some coordination that could happen with other agencies that also offer resources for the homeless in our community, should a variance be authorized again, and how we can make that a better program and experience. So that's pretty much early discussion. If people have interest in that topic and comments on the topic, it will be becoming before council on March 8th. So stay tuned to that and bring your comments in if you have them.
Thanks. That's Jenny Carroll, Information Officer for the City of Homer. And I want to turn attention to Nurse Lauren Carroll and Dorotha for a moment, because it's time to talk about positivity rates and testing, first in the state and then locally. Because the last time I checked in with you, Dorotha Ferraro, there had been just a few cases in the last 2 weeks that were identified through testing at South Peninsula Hospital. Positivity rate was 5.1, I think you said, at the council meeting on Monday. But it was rising at that point from the week before. So what are the numbers like right now? First, in the state of Alaska, Nurse Lauren Carroll.
Yeah, sure thing. You know, in terms of prevalence or the total number of cases so far in the state, we're sitting at about 56,000 cases. So when you put that, stand that up next to the total population, about 7.6% of the population has had COVID, reported COVID. So that gives us a hint at the actual prevalence, which is much greater, because those are only the reported cases. And then also a good figure to hold up there too is how many folks have been vaccinated. So far 20% of Alaska's population has been partially vaccinated, and 13% has been fully vaccinated. So, you know, the goal here is to keep deaths right at 287 and not a single one over. So considering it a race, we're doing really well.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. The number that I have from Dr. Zink is that the projection is that at the end of March's allocation, that 38% of the population will have been vaccinated, but that herd immunity doesn't protect us at 38%.
Oh, that's true. And it's a little bit more complex is that we don't quite know a whole lot about the vaccine's ability to prevent the spread of the virus. You know, the studies were done on the vaccine's efficacy or its ability to prevent severe disease. So severe disease outcomes in this case would be like an ED visit or a death.
Okay, thanks. And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, can you make that more local, form that information more local in terms of positivity rates?
Well, we've had 6 new cases on the Southern Peninsula in the last 2 weeks, and that is low enough to allow the schools to operate in what they call the green zone. And at the hospital test site, we only had one result positive out of 328 over the last week. So that's really about 1/3%. And I just want to clarify that if I told City Council on Monday that our positivity rate was at 5%, I need to retract that. That was extremely in error. We have not been, the Southern Peninsula and the hospital have not been that high in months. So I officially retract that statement, and we are under 1% positivity rate right now at the hospital's test site.
Oh, I'm glad you clarified that, because when I heard it, I thought to myself, this can't be right, that you must have meant 0.5. I want to bring Peggy Erkineff, spokesperson for the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District, into the conversation. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning, everybody.
And my question for you, thanks so much for joining us. I'd like to know how vaccination is going. The last round of vaccinations, there were over like about 350 or 400 vaccinations that were made available to the district, and 100 of them didn't get claimed, and so they were made available for a mini clinic through South Peninsula, through the incident command. So I was wondering where is the school district on vaccinating everyone who wants a vaccine?
Thank you so much for asking that. So we have all of our clinics on Friday, and hundreds of our employees will be vaccinated, which is awesome to get that first vaccine before spring break. And then everybody who's wanted to, we've reached out to, and there's more vaccine becoming available. So we're feeling really positive.
And does this clinic cover everyone in the school district who is eligible and wants a vaccine?
Everybody who works in the schools right now is eligible. And everyone who wanted to sign up at the clinic was able to. Many people received their vaccines in other locations, or they were in the first tier of 65 and older, or there was maybe an opening where they got somebody in. So we're doing our best to get everybody who wants their vaccine to receive that.
And Dorotha was just telling me that the school district is back in the green zone, so congratulations. And I was wondering if that makes any difference for activities and sporting events and that sort of thing for people to be able to attend.
That's a great question, and not yet. So right now we're heading into spring break, and we're super encouraged by the lower community transmission and case counts on the peninsula. We still do have positive cases happening in school. And so the big thing I really want to get out is for our staff and our families, that if you travel outside over spring break, please, please, please get tested as soon as you return at the airport. There's a lot of people who are pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic, and those positive cases are caught with airport testing. So we want to keep our schools open after spring break. We're not doing anything more stringent than what the state has shifted to, in contrast to some other school districts.
Okay, thanks. That's Peggy Erkineff, spokesperson for Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. And I want to bring the rest of the panel in on this because it reminds me to bring up something important that you guys can talk about, which is Peggy's talking about people traveling over spring break. And there are no longer any mandates for testing. Everything is now an advisory or a recommendation. And so that doesn't mean that you can just not get a test. I mean, you can, but if we want to keep the schools open and if we want to keep our positivity rates down, people still need to get tests when they travel, don't they? Can I start with Nurse Lorne?
You know, the mandates don't make you, but it's absolutely suggested. And it would be a great idea, not only for you, but your family and the community. The idea there is that many modes of transportation, you can't maintain effective social distancing and other mitigation measures. So that's kind of the backbone or the point of preventing transmission from one person to the next. You know, the difference here would be if you're flying in an aircraft from one point to the next versus driving alone or only with the people within your bubble in an automobile, those are two very different scenarios in regards to risk.
Okay, and any final comments from you, Nurse Lorne Carroll? We're at 9:30 just about.
I guess I would say that, you know, that the aim is to keep numbers low, and the idea is to prepare to get us through summer into winter. And I'm framing it like that because with two variants known to be in Alaska, and I expect, you know, theoretically we'll see that the third most common variant in Alaska soon, these are more readily available to spread. They spread much better than the other one. So if we enter next winter with low cases, we'll be better set up for success.
Thanks. That's Nurse Lorne Carroll, public health nurse for the Homer Public Health Center and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, anything on your list today?
Just to remind people about the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation rent and utility relief program. You can go to alaskahousingrelief.org. There's a short online eligibility questionnaire that'll take you through, and if you're eligible, then a short application that you can go through. It provides up to 12 months of rent and utility assistance, which is so helpful for people who have either lost hours or jobs due to COVID-19. If you don't have access to Wi-Fi or a computer, I want to remind folks that the Homer Public Library is open by appointment. You can go in and reserve a time on the computer there, or there is accessible Wi-Fi in the parking lot. So trying to get people access to those applications and those relief funds if needed. Thanks.
Thanks.
The program's open till March 5th.
Thanks. So go get your applications in.
Exactly.
And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, I guess it's time to sing the song of free testing. What else is on your list today?
Well, I'd just like to remind folks that as all of the vaccine rollout and kind of confusing sometimes information about what that means, what it doesn't, the one thing that remains certain is that proper fitting procedure masks prevent the spread of many respiratory viruses and definitely COVID-19, or at least limits it. And we really appreciate the community honoring that the hospital and hospital operators are requiring masks when in the facility. And it's not just if you're in the facility for your appointment, it's if maybe you're accompanying someone to an appointment or if you're visiting them because they're inpatient. So even though vaccines are on the rise and more and additional mitigation strategies are out there and transmission is low, we still are requiring individuals to wear procedure masks when in any of the hospital-operated buildings and clinics. And on that note, we do have some new folks entering the long-term care unit, and that is because the transmission levels are low enough that the long-term care nursing home did open to very limited, by appointment only, visitation to the residents in the long-term care. And we're really happy to be able to offer that and appreciative of the family members who are honoring all of the stringent guidelines and protocols while they're here.
Thanks. That's Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Did we cover everything on your list today?
Everything except, once again, a thank you to our staff and especially our parents for everything you've been doing for this past year in this pandemic. It's made a difference for our kids.
Thanks so much. That is Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Also, Dorotha Ferraro, spokesperson for South Peninsula Hospital. Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center in the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. And Jenny Carroll, information officer for the City of Homer. To remind everyone, appointments on the South Peninsula Hospital website, sphosp.org, will go active Monday, March 1st. There are other healthcare providers. If you have, if you're a patient at SVT Health and Wellness, or you want to get on the list at Ulmer's, you can go to Ulmer's website. I believe it starts March 4th for getting appointments, and also contact your local healthcare provider if you have one. If you don't, then you can call the 235-0235, which is the COVID helpline at South Peninsula Hospital. They will put you in touch with a COVID nurse to talk to, and also they can give you recommendations about who to reach out to. Also, testing continues every day at 4201 Bartlett Street at the lower level. If you're going in for a test, for drive-up free testing, call that number 235-0235 before you come in. And this has been the regular Thursday COVID-19 brief.